sign it, bye. How you lose something in a pocket this small?
Amen. Alrighty, good morning. Glad to see all y'all here this morning. And if you got your Bibles, turn with you to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And I want to thank each and every one of y'all for y'all's kindness and how y'all treat our family. And I really appreciate that. It means a lot. The kids act like they've been here forever. So, which with little man, that's not saying much. He's kind of you're a social dragonfly. I won't call you a butterfly, but you're a social dragonfly. How about that one? But we really appreciate it. We enjoy being here. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about, I'll be preaching on love, really. But we're going to get into it, and I'll explain a little more when we get into it. Matthew chapter 22, verse 33, starting off. We're going to read down to verse 40. It says, "And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much this day, Lord. I pray that you just be with us this morning, Lord. I pray that you remove me, Lord. I pray that you just allow me to get out of the way and allow your word to preach itself, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with our hearts this morning. Help us just to make sure our hearts align with you, Lord. And I pray that your word would speak to them, speak to our hearts. And in Jesus' holy name I pray, amen. Now, so they asked a lawyer. Now, what does a lawyer do? What means in their name? The law, right? They know the law. Okay, so this just wasn't a lawyer, though. This was a Pharisaical lawyer. He was a Pharisee, so they knew the law to the T. They knew how to cross the T's and dot the I's. They knew it better than anybody else. And so this lawyer came to trick up Jesus. And I like how the lawyer never said another word after Jesus spoke. Not only did he shut up the Sadducees, he shut up the Pharisees as well. Now, the reason that this is so interesting to me is because the first five books of the Bible are called the Torah. That is what the Pharisees lived by. And they lived by it with everything in them. Now, does anybody know how many laws are in the Torah alone? There are 613 laws in the Torah. And Jesus just summed them up in two. And I find that amazing that it shut the lawyer up. Ain't nobody ever seen a lawyer get shut up. But here we do. Because you can't argue that kind of fact of when Jesus says it. Now, this is not just a message on love. It's a message on traditions as well. How many in here, by raise of hands please, are the first generation of their family, either be your wife's family, part of their family, or or the husband's family? How many families is the first generation that's in here right here? That's the first time, first people that came from their family to this church was them. Okay, so there's a few of y'all. All right, sorry, that's kind of confusing. Well, I'm trying to. What am I trying to say, Alicia? She helps me out with this. Let's see. First generation Christian would be the first people in the family that got saved. That would be a first generation Christian. So, first generation here. Not because mommy and daddy brought you. Not because uncle and aunt Susie brought you. Not because somebody else was here before you. But first people of your family to be here. Wow, almost all of you. That's impressive. I was actually not expecting that at all. That doesn't change the message at all. But that was just kind of surprising. Now, Because, like I said, it doesn't change the message. Because it's God's Word. But this is what we get in trouble with. How many of you, not in this church, but mommy and daddy raised you in church? Just in a church in general. Okay, most of you. Now how many, this is where it gets sticky. How many of you are in church to this day because of that reason? Don't raise any hands. Or are you in church because you love God? This is where we have to be careful. Because what we will do, and we're going to get to the message. What we do is we come in here, we dress the part, we act the part. Not saying you're lying. Now, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not against good traditions. But I'm against serving God because of a good tradition. I don't serve God because my great-granddaddy was a pastor. I honestly didn't even know that until here about 3 months ago, wasn't it? I had no idea. I'm not serving God because my grandfather was an evangelist. I'm not serving God because my mama told me that I was going to be a preacher. I'm not going to name names. Joel Osteen, oh, I didn't say nothing. But Joel Osteen, I mean, would you quit saying that, brother? Because your mama called you to be a preacher. I'm not here because of that. I'm here solely because I love God with everything in me. And that's my sole purpose, to serve Him. Now, I want to look at this. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 15. And I'm not saying that you're guilty of this. Please don't take me that. I'm not doing that. You let the Lord work on you. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not here to convict you. I'm not here to do anything like that. I'm here to give what God gave me. Because if we're not careful, we all become guilty of this. Because in the church that I grew up in, great church. I love the church. The man of God who stands behind that pulpit, I believe, walks with God closer than any man I've ever met. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. My wife will back that. But I can tell you exactly how their services are going this morning. Because I became mechanical to it. I became, all right, well, we're sitting down for this song. I know we're standing up for this one. We're going, oh, no, we're sitting down for this. I know the part. Know what we're going to do. Like I said to begin with, I am not against tradition. But I'm against serving God because of tradition. I'm against singing because of tradition. If you will listen to me sing, it's not good, first of all. Don't expect that. You can ask my wife, looking at the book. It happened just earlier. I will mess up a song looking at the book. I don't get how that happens. I really don't. I'm not even dyslexic or anything. And I will mess it up every time. But we'll get to looking at that book and we'll forget about the words. Does anybody remember what we sang? He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Did the words resonate with you? Or did you just say them? Because our problem is that's what we do, is we just say it. Because it's a tradition. We sing the songs, right? When's the last time you broke out and said amen in the middle of a song? I do it. And people will be like, what in the world's wrong with him? This ain't a Pentecost church. We ain't speaking in tongues. This is the problem. Is we'll get in here. Brother, what was that first song we sung? 67 or 68? 67. We'll get in here. And we're going to get to the message. I'm not trying to prolong it to make it look like I preached a long message. I promise. Because the more I speak, the more y'all will dislike me. But we'll get in here and we'll sing, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdens, the burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. We'll read that. Do we understand what this is? This is not a songbook. This is praise. Because let's understand this, that there's two different things. Praise and worship are two separate things. I know we're scared to say that out loud because of the liberal churches have taken it so far. But I'm not scared to say it. I'm not scared to say Holy Spirit. I'm not scared to say that we're going to praise and worship Him. But there are two different kinds. Praise is when you sing in His name and you're shouting to Him. And I'm not worried about what everybody else thinks. I don't care if I mess up. My wife, I look at her and smile every time I do it. It just happens, okay? But I'm not singing for you, brother. I'm not. I'm singing because I love God. I don't see how people, I'm not mad at you. I don't care on this part. I don't see how somebody sits in church and does not sing these words. Because I sing them because I love God. That's why I sing them. This is praise. Do you know what worship is, though? Because the liberals really get on me with this one. How, well, we're going to our praise and worship. Okay, praise is when you're praising Him. You got your hands up, and you ain't got to have your hands up, but just like I'm saying, raising your voice, praising His name. But worship is when you are on your face, and you are on the floor, and you are worshiping Him because you understand who He is, what He is. That is worship. That is what worship is. We've lost this part of our churches because we've done it mechanically, because it's a tradition to come in here, to sit in a pew, to sing the song, to read the song. We're not going to say sing it, because down here in the country, if we're going to sing it, we should sing it. And it should be a praise to His name. But we come in here and we read the song. When is the last time this altar right here was covered in tears? Because I know from the stories of old time preachers, from the testimonies of the men who had, I'm talking about the altars full. I grew up in a church that the altar every service was full. It wasn't fake. Because let me tell you the reason I get down on the altar is because I always need God. I always need to bring something to Him. If the Holy Spirit don't speak to you when the Word of God is open, then something is wrong. Either you should get on the altar because He spoke to you, or you should get on the altar because He didn't speak to you. This is the house of God. It's not because of Brother Will that he should speak. It's because you should have your walk with God, that where He is, His Word is open, and He's talking to you. And I'm not mad at tradition, don't get me wrong. I like the old time way. And I stand behind the old time way. But we have replaced love for God. That's where the fire was. That's where the tears hit the altar, was the love for God. But now, because mom and daddy did it, that's what we do. Now, because that's just what we do. Why do you do that at church? It's what we do. That doesn't make sense. You should have a reason for what you do. Kind of look like a lunatic if you don't have a reason for what you do. Just being honest with you. Tradition is killing our churches. Now, don't get me wrong. Please don't take me wrong. I'm not against tradition. I'm against that replacing love for God. Because that, this morning's message, this morning's Sunday school, talking about put in your stick in God's hand instead of in yours, that only happens with a love for God. Do you know my wife put her hand in my hand on the day we got married? She didn't do it because I look good. I know that. This is by the grace of God, I promise you. She didn't do it because I was rich. I promise you that one. She did it because she loved me. And she was willing to put her life in my hand. And what happens with traditions Anyone ever seen traditional, what's it called when they, it's a line already arranged for their, is that what it's called, arranged marriage? That's not very creative. Arranged marriages. It's tradition and not love. And don't act like we've ever watched a movie. Okay, look. I was raised, rub dirt in it, chew up the nails, spit them out. That's how I was raised, be a man, be tough. But I look at those movies and I'm like, man, that's just sad, you know? That's sad they don't get to marry for love. You don't make it girly, okay? I promise you, there ain't nothing girly about me. But I look at them and I'm like, man, that's sad. But then I think of our church. I think of how when we come in here, we read songs. My Savior died for me. And when we sing it, we don't get stirred. When we sing it, it's words on a stinking page. The people who wrote it didn't write it because it was words on a page to them. It was real in their heart. They wrote it because they loved God and it moved them when they thought about the thing that they wrote about. Why are we just to read it? Well, we've sang these songs our whole life. Did that make them any less good? Because you've ate chocolate your whole life, is it any less good today than it was the first time you ate it? No, it's still good. Homemade ice cream, is it any less good the first time you ate it? No, it's still wonderful, right? That word, the songs, all of it should still be that good. Can you remember the first time you heard a song and man, it brought you to tears? I'm talking about it ripped your heart out and put it on a silver platter because it showed you who you were. When's the last time that song did it to you? I want us to think about it. I want us to put our hearts on an examination table. I want us to look at ourselves. I'm not preaching to you. I preach to myself too because this hits me first before it ever comes to you. I have to sit here and deal with this with the Lord hitting me by myself. At least this is like a blanket statement for everybody. I get it by myself when He hits me with it. What I preach is because He's already dealt with me. Because I'm not no perfect person. You can ask my wife. I mess up. And that's why this message is important to me. Because this message has to be played every day of my life. I have to remember that I'm not doing this because it's my job. I'm not doing this because I'm a Christian. I'm doing this because I love my Savior with everything in me. He said to hang all 613 laws onto. Why? Because love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul fixes the rest of it. Because you know what I don't do? I don't not do it because of everybody else. That kind of sounded weird. I don't not do what I don't do because you're watching me. I don't do what I don't do because my Father sees me. And I do not want to unplease Him. That's where it becomes a difference. Because you know what I borrowed? Have you ever borrowed a conviction, brother? You seen this good preacher. He got up and he preached this conviction, man. You're like, man, that's a good conviction. That sounds wonderful. You know he's walking with God. And you're like, I'm going to use it. But it wasn't your conviction. You know what happened to that conviction? Mine, at least. I don't know about yours, but mine. Stayed where I picked it up. Because it was a tradition. And it wasn't for love. What, how, or why are you serving today? Are you serving today? Turn to Matthew 15:3. Faith without works is dead. That's what the Bible says. And that's not the verse we're on. But what I'm saying is, your love for God should make you want to do something for Him. My wife, we used to have a, I don't know why we had so many sticky notes. We had sticky notes. We don't have any more, so I don't do any more. Nigga, go buy some more, huh? I would leave sticky notes all over the kitchen. how much I loved her, how beautiful she was this morning. Just little things. Why? Not because I got a pat on the back or she cooked me better eggs, or I did it just because I loved her. Are you serving God? I'm not talking about coming to church. That's not serving God. I'm talking about serving God with your life. Turn to Matthew 15, verse 3. He says, But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? The word tradition, by definition, the word tradition means the delivery or opinions, doctrines, practices, rites, and customs from father to son, or from ancestors to posterity. When is the last time you did something for God out of pure love? I'm not talking about tithing so that God doesn't curse your money. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about giving you money because you love God. Because first of all, I don't want God to curse my money either. At all. I have a bad enough time with it as it is. Definitely don't need His curse. But when's the last time you did it because you loved Him? Traditions, even the best of them, can become vanity. Pointless. Nothing. Or if you want to look at the other definition of vain, prideful, arrogant. God has nothing to do with either of them. This is a simple message. This is a message which none of mine are going to be ever too elegant and out of their reach. But this is one that should strike us in the heart. This is one that should check us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. And let's look at just how much we do things for the love of God. Like I said, I'm not here to... I don't know nothing about these people of this church. I don't know anything about you. There's two things I can tell you. Is that you're a sinner, and that the Bible's for you. Other than that, I have no idea about anything you are, what you were, who you, what you do. I don't. But I know that this Bible is for everybody. And I know that we all struggle. Now, we're going to read 13 verses, and I'll say a few things after, and I'll be done. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and have not charity. Charity is love, by the way. And I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not, charity itself is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. I'm going to stop there. This is Paul. He was a talented man, very talented. He even talks about, he says, if anybody's got a reason to brag, it's me. He says, I got all these talents, but if I don't have love, it's nothing. He said, if I give my body to be burned, then I have nothing. If somebody gave their body to be burned, you would think, for Christ, you would think they're pretty good Christians, right? But he's saying, without love, it's nothing. Now, I want to focus on the second part of this little scripture we just read. Starting in verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not after her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, and beareth all things. When did you fit in all those? I have an issue with those because I don't fit in them most of the time. Is it okay to be honest? I can tell you a lie if you'd like me to, but actually I'm not going to do that, but still. We can take our halos off, okay? When's the last time you fit that? Because this is the thing, charity suffers long. Love suffers long. Do you know how we're going to win the world? It's not by telling the world, we're going to pretend my wife's the world right now. It's not going to be by just coming to them and saying, you're going to hell because you're wearing a red sweater. This is it. You're going to hell. It's wicked and evil. It's against the Bible. That's not going to work. Love suffers long. Because you know what happens to them when you do that? Shut them off. And they'll never listen to you again. You know what I'd have done? I'd have walked away. And you wouldn't have had to worry about me coming back. And I promise that. Because my pride was so swole up. If you come at me with the truth like that, I'm not saying red shirts are against the Bible. Don't take that wrong. But you get what I'm saying. Let me tell you a secret. I expect the world to act like the world. Guess what? It's the world. Kind of happens. I do not expect Christians to act like the world. And if your charity does not suffer long, then you're acting like the world. Let me go ahead and be very clear. My sister, me and my brother was talking about it earlier. I have a sister, an older sister, who is a homosexual. And do you know what I wanted to do when Liam started coming? That is my responsibility, and I will answer for everything I teach him and everything I do. Everything I allow around him. And I wanted to say, you're not going to be around him, you're not going to be near him, because I don't want that kind of lifestyle around him. But then the other part of me said, if I do that, I know my sister, Lord, I'll never get to touch her again, I'll never get to talk to her again. And I was sitting in the pew. We were singing. And I couldn't even sing because all I was doing was praying. And I was like, God, what do I do? I can't. Because I've heard preaching of, oh, you just got to tell them. No, you got to love them. That's what you've got to do. Because God told me, he said, if you do that, he said, you'll never win her to God. Never. Now, do I condone it? No. She knows that. Do I love her? With all of my heart. And she knows that as well. Do my children love her? With all of their heart. And she knows it. And I believe with everything in me that these children will be one of the reasons that God can get a hold of her one day. And you know what would have happened if I would have said you're never going to be around them? That chance would have been shut off. I'm not even talking about tradition no more. I'm talking about love. Because that's what's missing. We can be self-righteous as we want. And I got me and my four. And ain't no more. We can do that. But that ain't Christ. That ain't my Savior. That ain't the whosoever gospel. It says, suffereth long and is kind. My sister is one of the people who know how to push my buttons better than anybody in this world. She's my older sister. They have a talent for it. If you're an older sister, you have a talent for it. Don't even lie in church, okay? She's an older sister. She'll tell you. She does. But it suffers long and is kind. My older sister has pushed my buttons so hard. You can ask my wife. My own father said something to me the last time, time before last. He said, I honestly can't believe it. You kept your mouth shut. Because if I decide to act like Will, I will lose my sister to the world forever. And when I get to heaven, I'll get to think about how she's not there because of me. It's her choice. I get that. But my choices can have an effect on her choice. Love suffereth long and is kind. Brother Will, you're staying a lot on this point a lot. It's the only point of the message. Because it's what's missing in Christian lives. You can't tell me I'm wrong because I know it. I see it. I watch it. It said, it doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Right there it says, behaveth itself unseemly, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. When's the last time that someone blamed you for something or claimed you did something or you just had to be right? See, it's not after herself. It doesn't puff itself up. Do you know what the phrase eating crow means? It has to happen sometimes. You can ask my wife. I'll apologize in a heartbeat. When I know I'm wrong, I don't care how much crow I got to eat because it eats me alive. But too often what we're guilty of is, I may be wrong, but I sure ain't going to let them know it. I can prove you a point in my defense easily. And it may not make no sense, but it'll at least get you to where you're like, I'm tired of arguing. He's right. Do you have to be right all the time? Do you have to be the one who gets the last word in? These are simple things. These are things that we should know. We do know. But do we practice? Love is missing. Now I want you to look at one more verse with me, and this is it. Verse 13. Chapter 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. That one is really hard to swallow sometimes. It just said that love is the greatest out of all three of those. Faith is one of those. You almost want to be like, Lord, what? Faith. How is it greater than faith? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It wasn't in faith that we were all going to accept His salvation, because He knew that wasn't going to happen. But it didn't stop Him from loving. How about you this morning? Let's take your three. Faith, hope, and I know it's charity, but we're going to call it love because that's what it is love. Faith, hope, and love. Amen. Which one of yours is greater? Because God said, hang all of these laws on love. If you look at just that, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The first five of the Ten Commandments all point to God, loving Him. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Go read them. The second five point to people. The Ten Commandments. I get that there's a lot more. But those are the ten big ones that we know. He said, hang it all on love. Now this morning, I don't know how y'all usually do it. Like I said, I don't know nothing really about this church much. But I need help with this. Because I'm quick to forget what I once was, and that is only by God's grace that I'm not that anymore. And my love fails. God's love doesn't, mine does. So this morning, I'm going to get on this altar, and I'm going to pray. You're more than welcome to come join me. It's open. But where's your love at this morning?